This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Football Out West Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Proudly brought to you by Georgie's on Vista, the new home of the George Cross Soccer Club.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to you wherever you may be. Welcome to the dawning of a new era for football in Melbourne's western suburbs, the outer western districts and the greater Wyndham region. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Football Out West Show, a weekly look at the world game out west. I am your host. My name is Tonchi Prusak, and joining me here in the plush Dockland studios of FNR each and every week on Tuesday from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock or whatever time we finish, my co-host, Craig Filer. Craig, welcome.
Thank you, Tonchi. Thanks for being here. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
Exactly right. And also joining us each week will be our esteemed panel operator, to my far left, and he's a little bit out of shot, Josh Parrish. Josh, he's a how are you, Josh?
Oh, I'm a little bit shy, as all the Geelong Region Soccer Show viewers know. Oh, you know, I just like to stay out of the picture. But yeah, you know, it's an absolute pleasure to have you guys on board.
Geez, Josh, it looks like from this moment forward, I'm going to be spending more time with you on a Tuesday night than with my own wife. Isn't that a bit of a scary thing?
It's not a bad thing, is it?
No, it's not a bad thing. We're liberated on this show. That's right. Craig, mate, this is an amazing concept. Tonight we're going to start off with a bang, and we've got our sponsor for tonight is Georgie's on Vista, which is the Sunshine Georgie's soon-to-be-launched club bistro, restaurant, club rooms, call it what you will, out in Caroline Springs. And they're a club-going places, and this show is hoping to take the football in the West, the whole community, to places it has never been before.
No, absolutely. I think the concept has come from conversations that we've had over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I think the West is certainly a growing area. There's lots of opportunities in the West. And as we've said, you know, this is an opportunity for local football clubs to be involved in the show, promoting their club on a week-to-week basis. And, you know, first up today is we're lucky enough to have Caroline Springs George Cross on in the first show.
Yeah, I'll probably be calling them Sunshine George Cross a lot of the time. It just old habits die hard. But, yeah, you're indeed. They've made the move from Chaplin Reserve. Actually, technically, they're still playing games there, but not for long. And we're going to bring on the club president of the George Cross of Caroline Springs, George Cross, Mark Sultana. He's going to be joining us right here in the studio. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. But before that, we do that, I'm going to make an appeal out to all the clubs and businesses out in the West. We're committed to 10 episodes. We're committed to the first 10 episodes. And we need your support out there in the West. Show the world just how good the West is. We need the clubs to support this program, and we need the businesses, obviously. And if they do, mate, we're going to have a happy marriage together. But we have got a couple of clubs that have already sort of pledged their support in principle starting from next week. So there's about three or four clubs at the moment.
Yeah, I think we've got three or four clubs involved, and we're looking for another five or six to see us out to the end of the season. So, you know, if you're a local Western football club or a Western business and want to get involved, get in touch with us, and I'm sure we'll get you on.
Yeah, there's two email addresses they can contact. Firstly, the email address that we've set up for the actual show itself.
And that email address is footballoutwest@gmail.com.
Or you can do it via our Facebook page. So contact on Football Out West News. So that's our Facebook page. You can private message us. You can leave a comment there. Most importantly, we need the clubs and their members to start liking that page, because even in 2 weeks now, we've started getting close to 400 members, which is quite phenomenal. But we need to get that number up higher and higher, and that is going to be our main platform for being able to broadcast this show every week. So very important. We're going to take a bit of a break, and when we return here on the inaugural edition of Football Out West Show, Mark Sultana, the president of Caroline Springs George Cross, almost said it.
Music. You're listening to the Football Out West Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio. Proudly brought to you by Georgie's on Vista, the new home of the George Cross Soccer Club.
Okay, so we start off with in the inaugural club focus segment, and we have the honour of inviting the club president of Caroline Springs George Cross Soccer Club to be our very first guest on the show, and the subject of the inaugural club focus segment. A very warm welcome to Football Show.
I think we need a clap here.
Mark Sultana.
First ever, you know.
Welcome.
No, thank you. And like you, I do struggle with. We just sometimes say Sunshine George Cross, but now we've got to say yeah. Caroline Springs George Cross. So
you should have a buzzer or something. I want those electric shocks every time you do.
So I just say George Cross Soccer Club. So there you go.
Perfect. Now we know.
Mark, we're nearly at the halfway point of the season at the moment. And you know, we won't talk about the on-field side of things. We'll leave that to Eric, who's also in the – he's out of shot, you know, but he's going to be joining us a bit later on. Yep. But give us a snapshot of what is happening these days at the Georgies. Is it still called the Georgies nickname?
Yeah, we are, yep. And we've named the bar and bistro, yeah. Georgies on Vista.
Georgies on Vista. A lot happening off the field and as far as the club is concerned. Monumental changes, in fact. So tell us a bit more about what is going on.
Yeah, absolute massive change for the club. We've been extremely fortunate to have done a joint venture deal with the Mountain Shire Council, which is... built us a tremendous facility out at Caroline Springs, two synthetics and two elite pitches, grass pitches, which was the lights were turned on tonight for the first training session, which was great. And we've also got a bar, sports bar and a bistro and a function centre there at the club as well. So I think moving forward, the club was established in 1947, so there's a lot of history there, and I think moving forward we'll find ourselves... again, trying to achieve those goals and get back to NPL football, which is really what we're after to achieve. So,
yeah, and you mentioned to me outside when we were having a chat that the difference in the facilities, and last week you had to hire lights
well,
to train
last
on.
Tuesday and Thursday we were hiring lights, you know, and and tonight we only had to walk about 400 steps and turn the lights on, and yeah. off we go. We lit up two synthetics and two main pitches, and I've got to tell you, we weren't short of light.
So, I'm sure.
Do they say? They build it and they'll come. So we've built it and now we're all coming. So it's great.
We'll just move that microphone closer to you so we can
hear
better. There we go. That's better.
So obviously with you relocating to Caroline Springs,
yep.
Obviously you've had the help of the council.
Yes, we
how
have.
How has that worked for you?
They have been unbelievable. Again, I'd like to take the time out just to be able to thank all the councillors. They've been great help to us all. Maurie Heaney and his team, which is head of recreation, has been unbelievably beneficial for all of us. It's really strong as we've got the community pitch, which is a sort of an elite grass pitch, which will, you know, is used by the community. But we've also obviously got the elite pitch that will be used by a new co-tenant that we're about to announce, which is great. So
can we talk about that co-tenant?
Yeah, we can.
That. And who is that co-tenant and how did that collaboration come about?
Oh, look.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle yourself up. This is amazing.
So we've been very, very fortunate enough to have Western United sign on as a co-tenant. They'll be using their facility. They've got a two-year lease with us. Eddie Goucher was quite monumental in having that come across to us. He spoke to Western United and basically he and Steve Horvat put this deal together, and if you get a chance to come and have a look at the ground, you'll see why Western United signed on. Like I said, it's a state-of-the-art facility in terms of change rooms. Mm. We've got a massive scoreboard. We'll have a drone. We've got coaches' boxes, offices. Look, the facility is amazing, and you can see why Western United decided to partner up with us and hopefully help in their success as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to be based there, aren't they?
They are.
They've got offices and...
They've got offices. Their sponsorship office and their membership drive office will still be at the Truganina Centre that they've established. But in terms of all their offices and their coaching staff and all that will be actually out.
So all the technical elements kind of thing
will be at our ground, yeah.
Amazing. Let's talk about the new bistro facility because I don't know about you, I'm getting a bit hungry now. It's, you know, late at night, so, you know, we want to talk about food a leaf. We can't have it.
Yeah.
That's opening up this week, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, towards the end. So we're partially opening towards the end of this week and we'll be fully operational by Monday next week.
Awesome.
So.
How's that all coming along? And
club, really good.
What can club members, visitors alike expect from the new food and beverage?
Well, we're basically,
what's the menu like?
Yeah, look, again, Eddie's been strong in that. Eddie owns a company called Sea Change, which we've actually they've taken on the management of the facility itself on behalf of George Cross. We're pretty much going to have your general, you know, your pub food and things like that. We've also got the catering side of things because we do have the function centre. So, again, we've also got a touch of Maltese cooking coming into
awesome.
There too.
Yes.
You can't have the George Cross Soccer Club without having that element of Maltese cooking. So
and some pastizzis.
Yeah, a little bit of pastizzis and that traditional Maltese cooking. So we'll get Eric to, you know, he can do a bit of food tasting on that. So, yeah, look, generally, again, through the bar and bistro, there will be that element of you know, what they call a traditional pub grub, and off we go. And
I've just had an idea, Craig. When we're ready to have a live outside broadcast show, maybe we could have it at George's.
Oh, you'd be more than welcome.
Yeah, I've already been on to Lisa.
Again.
We're in.
Can't not mention Lisa. She's Lisa's actually our general manager. She's been employed by the club now just recently. The club needed to have that type of person on board. So she'll facilitate our relationship with the council and also with West United and also just your general club issues that we generally have through our wonderful game.
So just going back to the bistro and the facility you have there, how can the general public be involved in that? Is it out for hire? Yes, it is.
The function centre is. I think it's great that we've signed Western United because those that, you know, want to have a night out and see an A-League team train, that's all there available for them to be able to, you know, sit down and have that, again, whether you want to go into the sports bar and have a bet on something, you can do that, or, you know, you can sit down with the family and see how an A-League team trains, which is great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Now, as we mentioned, we'll be chatting to Eric a little later on, so we'll talk about on-field stuff with him. But we will touch on the recent departure of Corey Smith. It's always hard as a president, especially letting go of a coach, especially mid-season. I guess, though, the buck always stops with the president and you know, the person in charge. How do you find that side of things, you know, the leader delivering that type of news to a coach or that kind of stuff?
Well, it was probably an unusual circumstance for the fact that the previous board had obviously appointed Corey. And I think it was only the right thing to do was to actually go through a process to evaluate where it sat with the club and moving forward. It is difficult to tell somebody you've lost your job, but I think you need to assess it in a manner where you really just don't look at football performances as a decision maker. I think we established... We do have a very strong board at George Cross, which is great. We probably questioned certain decisions that were made by, you know, previous people at the club. But again, like I said, you need to put a review process in place, which is what we did. Corey's first review was, you know, quite solid. But again, moving forward, again, it wasn't just football issues that we made a decision on. But again... we believe we've appointed a coach that will actually be able to take us all the way back through to NPL. Corey did the best he can. He's quite young in what he does and quite passionate. So, but I think there was a time that some change needed to be made, and buck stops with me. And it was a decision that I actually played a part in, and probably, you know, played a strong part in. But again, just identifying where the club needed to be and what we wanted to really established moving forward. That was probably that. But again, you know, I thank Corey for his support and for what he did at the club. And again, it wasn't really just a performance-based decision. So,
yep. Yeah, good. So off the field, as far as the administration is concerned, are you happy with the way the club structured them?
Oh, look, I think the board's extremely strong and close. I say that with gust and passion. I think... we've seen a club that has a strong history probably fall away slightly, which is disappointing. We've got two women on the board, my vice president in Darren and Mark Zara as well. We also have Eddie Gauci, who liaises with obviously Western United and the council. We're extremely united and strong and very passionate about where we want to be. I think you'll find that where George Cross will sit moving forward is all about changing its culture and building a very, very strong junior part of our club. I think it's quite important to have a strong junior component. Our next vision is to be able to then, you know, bring in the young girls and you know, the young ladies and females to our club. I think that's an area where we've lacked and still lack currently, but I think it's a very important part of what we need to do moving forward. I think you'll generally see that we've identified that we want to be part of the new NPL junior structure. We've presented a very strong case for that. I think our facility leads us to, you know, hopefully, you know, win one of those spots available. And like I said, as I mentioned to you sitting outside before we even went on air, was that I think the junior budget stays a junior budget, and I think the senior budget stays a senior budget. And I think that's where some clubs sometimes lose their focus. And, you know, again, building that really strong junior segment, you know, through our club is quite important. And Eric's on board with that.
Mark, just quickly sort of, how many players roughly at the club, and how much would be, say, for example, maybe female to male ratio at the moment?
Oh, look, we don't, again, and it's sad to say that, but we don't have a very strong female component. Mm-hmm. I think we have roughly about 400 juniors there currently, around there. But, I mean, in saying that too,
And you envisage that'll grow, like moving to the new facilities?
So the idea is to be able to, again, apply for the NPL junior structure, also to have some community club as well. Again, we're fortunate enough to have the two synthetics.
Yep.
We also have the community pitch. Obviously, the signing of Western United somewhat limits us to the senior ground, but after that we actually do get used. But then you've got to be careful how many games you do play on the elite pitches. So, but look, again, we're very, very proud about trying to promote, again, a real strong culture through the junior side of things. And I've got to tell you, the female side needs to really be challenged on our behalf. We really need to be seen to do the right thing and be able to offer opportunities for females to play football at George Cross. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose the big question is, NPL back on the cards?
Oh, absolutely. I think the signing we've made with our coaching side of things and the football department changes that will come forward. I think the important side of where George Cross sits currently is to be able to build a strong income base. We love our sponsors. Again, we try and facilitate a dollar for dollar. So what we get in sponsorship, we try and then build the income back through the club. So we put as much back into the club. In saying that, I don't think we would have appointed someone of the ilk of Eric if we didn't have the passion to be given back into NPL. So,
Mark, thank you so much for taking time out tonight in your busy schedule to come into the studio, even better. So that's huge, because now we're not only audio, we're visual as well.
No, absolutely.
Mate, especially to you and to the club for being the first to support our venture here at the Football Out West show. It's going to be a big thing, and I'm looking at the Facebook Live, and I'm looking at some of the people that are watching, and names and people that I recognise. There's a Gold Coast, there's a Sydney, there's Geelong, there's obviously all parts of Melbourne. And our numbers are really, really starting. And this is just our first show. So once it does take a hold and people start to, believe in what Craig and I are doing, it's going to be amazing. But you guys were the first ones to really, really support us.
I've got to say to you, extremely honoured. Yeah. Yep. Oh, look, we, you know, again, when Lisa said that the opportunity arose, I think it's a great concept. It's good for our local football clubs. I think you'll see where, you know, the AFL are struggling with their local leagues now. And you can see that, you know, soccer in Victoria is on the front foot, and a program like this will, you know, help us and enhance sponsorships and promoting what we do best. So I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you once again. And, you know, absolute pleasure having you on the inaugural show. That's Mark Soltana, the president of the Caroline Springs George Cross Soccer Club. And, you know, we wish George Cross all the very, very best, not just off the field and their move to their fantastic new facilities out in Caroline Springs, but also on the field as well. And there's a bit of an echo happening here. When we return, we're going to go from off the field and we're going to go onto the field in our segment Into the Dressing Rooms.
Listening to the Football Out West show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Proudly brought to you by Georgie's on Vista, the new home of the George Cross Soccer Club.
Welcome back to the inaugural edition of the Football Out West show. Before we go any further, before we get into the dressing rooms, but Craig, I'm looking at the numbers on Facebook. I think the term used by our illustrious panel operator, Josh, was bonkers. The numbers are just going through the roof. I kid you not. It's just amazing.
We must have all of Malta listening.
We must have. There are people from interstate and what you're not, and there's probably people from overseas, who knows. But our next guest is certainly one that needs very, very little introduction. He's a man about the NPL, and he's now come to the George Cross Club to get them out of State League One, and it's none other than Eric Vassiliadis. Eric, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to the show, and more importantly, if I'm being fair, to bringing some success to the club.
Yeah. Now, Craig, we better be nice to this man because apparently he's a school buddy of our CEO here at FNR, Football Nation Radio, David Bozanowski. Eric, is that true? Can you tell us a bit of dirt about David?
Well, he was ambitious. He was an entrepreneur. We grew up in Thomastown, so look at him now running a radio station. So,
and what a
radio
station.
But he was always very passionate about football. And yeah. I know early on he was involved with Victory, so I wish him well and I wish you guys well.
Thank you very much. Now, Eric, you've had a really illustrious career yourself as far as a coach. Now, amongst other clubs, you've coached at Northcote City, Melbourne Knights and Port Melbourne in the NPL system. And now you're at George Cross. It's always hard for a coach, I guess, coming midway through the year. But the good thing about this year, I suppose, is the fact that there is no relegation due to the restructuring that's happening up the top in the NPL/VPL system. Does that give you an opportunity to now start planning for next year now type of thing? Or is that something you're just now more interested in the current season as is?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think the mandate from the outset was to come in and, to use the board's terms, was to build and consolidate. I probably wouldn't have taken on the opportunity if there was relegation, because I think that brings upon it with itself other challenges and makes it quite difficult to come in mid-season, which is what I went through at Melbourne Knights. So I think I come into this role now in a much better place psychologically and mentally about, you know, having this kind of long-term vision, which is consistent with what the board wants to do and the sort of success we want to bring to the, not only with respect to the Maltese community, but the broader sort of George Cross backing. But absolutely everything we're doing this year is with an eye to next year and beyond. And that's the responsibility I've got. And I've got to stay strong with that, and I will stay strong with that.
Craig, was there anything you wanted to ask?
Yeah. So obviously you've come in, you've been at the club, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, about 12 days or something.
12 days.
Yeah.
New players on the horizon?
Look, yes, there is, mainly because we've identified some gaps in the squad. And look, I can't comment on previous coaches and experiences because we've, you know, those of us that have coached understand that you go through various phases, injuries, suspensions, form, all those things. But the brief was to try and bring in players that we think can be the foundation for what we want to do going forward. We know the State League has limitations on that front. We can't lock these players in. So as a board and a coaching group with Steve Bebich and Theo Michalidis, we want to make sure that we've got this vision where we've got 12 weeks to show that group and any prospective players that want to be part of our project why we want them to be part of it and why they should be part of it. And they've got to choose to do that. And today we took a massive step forward as a football club and as a community to be based out in the new facility in City Vista, and that's going to form part of our foundation. So, yeah, there will be some new players. We've brought some in, maybe one or two more, but for now I'm focused on getting this group to a level and a standard that's going to be the foundation to our future success.
Let's just talk about tonight. Like, yes. From a player's point of view, a coach's point of view, I mean, the club forever and a day has been known to, you know, for its, I suppose, do we say second-rate facilities? Run-down facilities at Chaplin Reserve, let's call it as it is. Mm. All of a sudden, you've got these bells and whistles, unbelievable facility. And we spoke to Mark Sultana, the president, earlier, and he said how Western United are going to be coming. Does that automatically give the players and the coaching staff this little bit of a lift? Are you like an extra foot taller?
Tremendously uplifting. And I must congratulate the board, the broader George Cross community for what they've achieved. With respect, I've been there with my coaching group for 5 minutes. So, you know, we've shared that today. Mm. But to understand what they've been through as a culture over the last 10, 15 years is significant for me. And as an old NSL person, I remember the heights of George Cross, similar with my Heidelberg days. So, well, I think we've finally and for a long time as a club got a facility and a brand that's becoming of our football club. And as we said today, as a football group, the board has done everything they need to do off the field. It's now my ambition and my role to run this department, the football department, and bring that back to where it needs to be as well. So that's the plan.
Yeah, I was lucky enough a couple of weeks ago just to drive up and just have a look at the facility. And as Mark said earlier on, it's a fantastic facility to have two synthetic pitches, two grass pitches, one state-of-the-art pitch, scoreboard, restaurant, bistro, sports bar. It's becoming of a professional club. It's what a professional club you aspire to be. So I think, you know, it's down to you on the field now to improve that. And as you said, you know, the board have done what they can. Now it's talking on the pitch.
Yeah, and I'm trying to stay very, very focused on that and not get too caught up on all the bells and whistles. I mean, that's great. But for us as running the football department, that's the periphery. You know, the state league is a tough league, and there's been plenty of clubs prior to us try to get out of that league and been unsuccessful for 3, 4, 5
still.
Years. And I think it's not always just about throwing some financial resources to it. So I'm definitely not getting carried away by the facility or the quality of the grass or any of that stuff, and we're not going to go out and try and be something we're not. As far as the football department's concerned, we have to be pragmatic and understanding of the league and what's required football-wise to get the job done.
Now, you've been with Northcote City when they were promoted, or was it Port Melbourne, when they were promoted from State League 2 to State League 1. Steve Bebich was involved with Dandenong City last year as an assistant there and helped get them promoted to NPL at the moment. So the coaching staff there is pretty familiar with what it needs to be done to get a club promoted. What does George Cross at the moment need to do? All right, well, they've got the facilities, tick. They've got a very hard-working committee that's unified and what a tick. But what else does the club need to do, and what are you expecting needs to be done, whether it be from here until the end of next year, whatever the case may be, to achieve that ultimate dream?
Well, I think what we need to do is understand the current situation we're in, assess it, analyse it, and identify areas that we need to improve. And that's a number of facets, including players, including, I think, with the utmost respect to previous coaches, I think a football program that is reliable, consistent, methodical, and is measurable. And importantly, in my experience, getting promoted from State 2 all the way through to the VPL and NPL, each year provided its own unique challenges as a league. So we have no intention of being this sort of, you know, ball-playing sort of team that builds through the lines. You know, at State 2, it just doesn't work in my experience. It's about getting consistent, sort of match-hardened men surrounded by some good, vibrant youth, and then getting the culture right.
Yeah, I was commentating a Hoppers Crossing versus Geelong Rangers State 2 game just not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I won't say the brutality, but the physicality definitely you can't really allow much ball playing skills as much
it
as you'd like
make
to.
Sense. It's not conducive to it. The grounds don't allow it. I mean, we can whinge about it as much as we want. That's the reality. And you've coached at Point Cook, so I'm sure you would have seen some pretty interesting tracks as well. So that's it. For us, it's about coaching for that league, and then hopefully we achieve that goal, and then we adjust our plan a little bit more for that league until we're in a position as a football club to have our true identity.
Any big name players from the NPL system coming down to
look?
To join
you
guys?
We've brought in four players in the last 2 weeks, which I'm absolutely ecstatic to have on board. One is George Sliffendorfus, who's come out of the Whittlesea Rangers NPL system. We've got Brian Summerskill, who in my mind, if we get him fit and firing, is probably one of the best midfielders in the state, if not the country, outside of the A League. But you know, we need to get him fit. Ethan Gage has just joined us from South Melbourne, and he spent a year playing with JA at Bentley Green, so that's a top-tier footballer.
I know that fella from the Corio when he played down Geelong way. He was just
Ethan Gage?
Unbelievable. Yeah, and then
player.
Went up to Bentley Greens, and he was an incredible player.
And we signed the winger from Preston, Andrezinho, who's got A-League experience and pedigree. So The most important thing for us with signings is twofold. One is, you know, we have every intention of them being part of what we're going to do going forward. And secondly, they just have to bring quality to the squad. And all four of them do.
Fantastic. On that note, we've got anything else to ask the man?
Best of luck.
Absolutely. Thank you. Eric, thank you very much for coming in. You're our first coach to come in and be part of this show. So we sincerely wish you all the very, very best for the rest of this year and indeed the future at Caroline Springs George Cross. It's an amazing, exciting time to be a part of that club, and we wish you and your club all the best.
Thank you, guys. Look, just finally, from my perspective and on behalf of my team, I want to thank our board, and we're really looking forward to doing everything we can to bring some pride back to our community down at George's. And we also wish you the best on your journey here as well.
Good on you.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much. Eric Vasiliadis, the head coach of the Caroline Springs George Cross. We're going to take a break here. When we return, we're going to, speaking of legends of yesteryear from the George Cross and the NPL, we'll be talking to a true coaching legend, Chris Taylor. Listening to the Football Out West show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Proudly brought to you by Georgie's on Vista, the new home of the George Cross Soccer Club. Welcome back to the inaugural edition of the Football Out West show tonight. The numbers are going absolutely through the roof on Facebook. Keep it up. Keep the comments coming as well. Victor Brinkat says, thanks for the George Cross Hour. Kevin Fumer says, Craig Filer, the new Les Murray.
Yeah,
God
thanks,
bless your soul.
Thanks, Kev.
Now it's up to the team to do good. Raymond Barbara, Joe Gigo, I hope I pronounced that correct. All supporters of George Cross should all be proud of what the GC facilities are like. George Cross facilities, all past supporters should come and look what the George Cross are in. Very nice inside out. Tonight trained at the new ground. Well done, guys. What we failed to say is George Cross have got the next six games at home, and three of them are at Chaplin Reserve, but then after that, I think it's...
7th of July, I think, the first game.
7th of July, round 14 game against Clifton Hill. That's at what is being called the City Vista Recreation Reserve. So put that down in your... regardless if you're a George Cross fan or not, but if you're out in the West and you live around that area, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, it's worth going out there and checking out some of the amazing facilities that they're going to have on offer. But George Cross are at home to Banyuls City this Sunday, 3 p.m. Banyuls City are currently in sixth spot, and George Cross bringing up the rear at 12th. So it will be interesting to see how Eric Vasiliadis does with the team in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, and I think I was talking to Eric outside, and you know, there's no time for settling in. He's in the job. He's had two games, but four players in. So for him now, it's all systems go.
Yeah, it is indeed. Now, our very, very special guest on the line, unfortunately, he was going to come into the studio, but he had some domestic issues to do with heating or something, and you don't want to have heating issues on a night like tonight. And he joins us live on the phone. Chris Taylor, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, mate, very well. Mate, you've had such an illustrious career that started off at the Georgies way back in the 1980s as a player, but after the George Cross era, you went off and you've coached at Melbourne Knights, at South Melbourne, now at Oakley. But let's start with your playing career back in the day, back in the 80s at Sunshine George Cross. And how did that come about? And what year was it when you first joined the Georgies?
Yeah, it was basically there was two of us, me and a boy called Roger Bain, who came out from, we're both Leicester boys, and we came out here in 1981 to play for Sunshine City, who at the time was, you know, with tenants on the ground with George Cross down at Chaplin Reserve. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years, the two clubs amalgamated, and I became a Georgie from then. And I think I had something like 9 years at the club as a player.
Yeah. Hi, Chris. It's Craig. So as a player, you were in those illustrious days back in the 80s, you would have played with some great players at Chaplin's Reserve, I'm sure. Who was the best that you played with and why?
Look, I think there are a lot of good players. You know, the likes of Donny McLaren, who's playing for the Socceroos now. But I think probably the biggest talents I played with would have been John Markowski. Remembering him at 15 coming into the seniors and, you know, being probably the most talented player I've ever seen at that sort of age. You know, and dare I say it, you know, great kid and everything like that, but probably... probably was a talent that probably could have done a lot more with his career than what he actually did. Hell of a talent. But then there were people like Andrew Marth and Paul Trimboli, and, you know, the club had that sort of eye for young talents, and they developed them well right the way through, even when Ernie Merrick were there at the end of the NSL days, you know, bringing through players like Craig Foster and, you know, the one or two really top players, David Clarkson. Yeah, so the club's always had that ability to bring through young players. But, yeah, I'd say John Markowski was the biggest talent I've played with.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that and you didn't say Steve Sherry, because Steve Sherry was my sister down at Point Cook, and he always told me he was the best player ever to play at George's. So.
Yeah, he played a few years down there. Good lad as well, Steve, yeah.
Now, mate, what was your greatest moment when you wore the George's shirt as a player? So back to your playing days.
Look, I think the big thing about George Crossy was it was pretty much a working class club, and they epitomised that sort of background. And if you put in, you know, put in a good shift and played for the shirt and the badge, I think that's what the supporters admired the most. And we weren't the club that went out and won championships. You know, we were in a tough league at the time, the NSL. So sometimes it would, you know, go in places like Adelaide City and beating them in the cup. You know, which we did on a number of occasions, but we always seemed to be an underdog that got very good results. But, you know, probably the most memorable times for me were playing in the derbies against Green Gully that were, may I say, passionate affairs that always brought out the best in both clubs, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's just what was my next question, actually. What was the best game or greatest game you played in? I would presume that would have been a George's Green Gully derby.
Yeah, and there were always close games. We didn't always get out on the right side of the result, but yeah, some great memories there, and you know, good friends along the way. But at both clubs, you know, they were great times and very passionate games. But you know, our supporters were the most passionate people out there. They were fantastic to play for, and we used to get some really big crowds down at Chaplin Reserve.
Now, Chris, you transitioned into coaching at George's. That was your first coaching job, was it? And when did you start?
No, I actually, I think I coached at Sunbury to start off with, but I had about 5 years at Green Gully before I coached at George Cross.
Okay. How'd that come about? Who'd you take over from, if you can remember?
At George Cross, I think Steve Chakuti was coach at the time. And I think they were in the second division, so I took them from second division back into the VPL or NPL as it is now. So we had two years where we won leagues and got promoted. So, yeah, good times, and we had some good young kids. Manny Muscat, I think, was captain at 17. Trent Waterson came through. So some very, very good young kids come through at the time as well, which, you know, as I said before, that epitomises what George Cross have always been about, giving young kids the opportunity and that. And that's something you don't see as much happening nowadays.
Yeah, have young kids been given the opportunity, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you'll never see, I mentioned John Markowski before, but you're never going to see a 15-year-old playing senior football nowadays. It doesn't mean that they're not good enough. It's sometimes that we tend to hide them and mask them in a youth system that probably leaves a lot to be desired. You know, back in those sort of days, you know, we were competing in World Cups and getting to semi-finals with the likes of Paul Ocon and John Markowski and Lawrence Kidner and people like that. We don't do that anymore. So, you know, that's one area that I think the game over here needs to really look at and harness and probably put back to, you know, to what it used to be when we used to have very good kids coming through.
Chris, a few weeks ago on another show that I host here at Football Nation Radio, the Geelong Region Soccer Show, we had Chris Trajanovski, who ended up as a junior coming to Sunshine George Cross and then moving to South Melbourne, to Sydney Olympic and what you not. But it was a question that we posed to him. He played in the NSL back in those days in the late 80s, early 90s. And we said, players of that era, would they be more than competitive, or would they be competitive, or would they struggle at in today's A-League? And he was adamant, look, if they were professional players of that era, they were more than competitive, if not better. In fact, he actually said they were better. Would you agree with that sort of constatation?
Yeah, look, I thought there were some really talented players around in them days. I think obviously the game has changed. It's got a lot faster. It's become more about the athlete than the technical side of it. But we had some great players back in those days. You know, people ask me the question, who's the best player you played against? And I think when we were at George Cross, we played against a Footscray side coached by Seca Lowrich, who was a legend in himself. But he had a couple of young kids. He had a boy playing for him, Stosic, who 2-3 years later played in the European Cup final for Red Star Belgrade. And you're not going to get that sort of player playing in the A-League at the moment. So that kind of typified the sort of players that were coming out and playing out here, and players that went overseas and played, the likes of Eddie Krencevic and people like that. There were some really good players around in them days. Albeit, you know, probably not as glamorous as the A-League, playing in stadiums and that sort of thing, but there were some talented footballers going around. But also the youth system was very good, and you know, there was always good kids coming into the game that took the league by storm.
Yeah, and on that, you just said that you know, players were going abroad, and he played in the European Cup for Red Star Belgrade. We've seen a lot of players, or A-League players, going abroad for 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, but coming back. What's the reason for that? Is the way that they've been brought up football-wise here, and they're not street-wise, and ready for that test?
Yeah, look, I actually think we've probably got it a little bit wrong, and it's probably gone back 10 years or so. We've got a system now which enforces players to stay and play over here and get into the A-League system, whether that's youth football or senior football. But a number of years ago, some of our best players, Harry Kewell, Cale and people like that, they were going overseas at the age of 14 or 15 and forging careers for themselves, becoming apprentices overseas. And that's really where they got the grounding. You know, and some of our best players have not been produced locally. They've grown up over here, of course, but, you know, they're going overseas like Kewell did at 14, 15. You know, getting in a professional environment, and that's what sets them apart. Now, I think what we do really poorly at the moment, you know, I've got a 9-year-old playing down at Oakley, but he might play 14 or 15 games a year. If he's playing in Europe, he'd be playing, you know, 50 or 60 games. And I think that's where we let ourselves down really poorly. You know, I know that... you know, there's fixture lists and that sort of thing, but, you know, you have a week off for Easter, you have a week off for Greek Easter, and then you have a bye the following week. You've played it, you've gone a month, and, you know, the kid's not played a game. So I think that's where we're lacking a little bit, that the football over here is not as seasoned and hardened as what it is in some of the top countries in Europe and South America, you know, where kids are playing all around the clock. And for long hours in the day, you know, our boys just don't play enough football.
No, I think, you know, I was lucky enough to have Cardiff City over to do some coaching for me in January, and they did a presentation about their junior setup, and you're absolutely spot on, Chris. You know, their 9-year-olds are playing 65, 70 games a season, and our young kids are really not. You know, even State League and NPL, at NPL level, what you're playing, 26 competitive games a season. You know, that's 26 weeks of 52. So the other half of the year, they're not playing any football at all. And, you know, we can't continue to, or Australia can't continue to expect huge results on the football field if we're not developing the youngsters and giving them opportunity to play football at a lower level.
Chris, whilst we're talking about that, whilst we're talking about the juniors, now, obviously, you said you've got your little one playing at Oakley. You're involved at the NPL level coaching Oakley at the moment, and you've had a long and illustrious career at South Melbourne. With the restructuring, particularly the junior restructuring next year, where Football Victoria are talking about the junior NPL season being, I think, a total of 33 weeks and clubs having to have a 40-week availability with their council grounds or whatever, is that a step in the right direction, or it's still not enough?
Look, I think we get clouded a little bit, you know, and I've got to be careful what I say. You know, I'm an NPL coach, and I've got to back the system. You know, I've been in the system for a number of years, but my primary objective at the moment is there's a lot of people making money out of the game out there, whether it be academies and those sort of things. But you got the NPL, which, you know, some of the kids are paying $2,000-$2,500 in fees. Are they getting great coaching? That's debatable, but we're certainly not producing the players that we used to produce when, you know, it was a case of turning up and playing and paying subs, which were very small. Whereas, you know, I've got a boy across the road who plays footy and pays about $120 a year to play footy, gets coached by some of the AFL boys, and in our game, it's really an elite sport. You know, you're paying $2,000-$2,500. You get driven to training by your parents, who generally got Mercedes or BMWs driving kids around, and it's just not the passion that there used to be. And that's where I think we're letting ourselves down a little bit. It's becoming an elitist game, and we've got to get back to the grassroots, where you've got kids that play because they love the sport and you know, want to put the hours in. You know, we've got kids now that think, you know, you can go training twice a week and train for an hour and become a pro player. Yeah. Well, it don't work that way.
Or not turn up at all and expect to play on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mate, thank you very much. We've gone a little bit over time. We're going to have to wrap it up, but I'll allow Craig to have any last questions, and then if you've got any last words you've got to say, Chris.
So, Chris...
Sorry, Craig, for butting in.
You're right. From my point, just like to thank you for coming on tonight, our first show. And it's always nice to get a high-profile guest on, so really appreciate your time. I know you were looking forward to coming in, but unfortunately you weren't able to make it. But thanks for giving us the time on the phone, and, you know, best of luck with everything with Oakley for the remainder of the season, and look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Yeah, and I just want to wish everyone all the best at George Cross. You know, I've had some great times there and very passionate about the club, and, you know, moving to the new ground, I wish them all the best and all the success, and I'm sure Eric will do very well with them.
Excellent. Exciting times indeed. Thank you very much, Chris Taylor. And Chris Taylor, he is a former player and a coach at Caroline Springs, George Cross, and he's currently coaching Oakley Cannons in the NPL. So that virtually brings us to the end of our show. Craig, it's been awesome. It's been fantastic. I've been blown away by the initial figures so far. But, yeah, once we get the teething problems all sorted and all of that kind of stuff, I think we're going to have an amazing, amazing platform to really promote football in the West, hence the name Football in the West, Football Out West show. It's all about encompassing all of the positives. We were going to have a little bit of a news thing where we were going to touch on a few negatives, but we won't worry about that too much. But we are appealing to everyone to like our Facebook page, because we will be effectively constantly watching what is happening and reposting. So we hope it's going to be like a one-stop shop to get your football fix out in the West.
Yeah, look, and as we said right at the start of the show, you know, if you're a business, if you're a local football club that want to get involved in the show, get in touch with us, again, at footballoutwest@gmail.com or via the Facebook page, and we've got a few slots between now and the end of season available. So if you're interested and you want to get involved, give us a shout.
Yeah, and a big thank you to everyone here at Football Nation Radio, FNR, who have shown so much faith in us as well, and really have allowed us given us the platform to explore this show. So next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. here on FNR Football Nation Radio, you'll be able to listen to us and watch us We're every week from here on end. So on behalf of Craig, Josh and myself, Tonchi, wishing you a good night.